WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are a positively into what should be a really good time here if you're in the land of pleasant living and you love the local teams, whether it's the Orioles and whatever cleanup they're going to be doing after the Texas Rangers won the World Series for the first time. We're going to have some baseball activity here later on this month. And we got plenty of football activity. 7-2, the Cleveland Browns coming to town along with the Cincinnati Bengals. It's all going to happen really quickly. I'm getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road, courtesy of the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Window Nation. I have tickets to give away. Lots and lots of stuff. Fadley's this week, and our guest here knows a lot about Fadley's down at Lexington Market. We're also going to be at Costas next week. We're going to be at State Fair. We're going to be at Coco's. We're going to be at Pappas in Parkville, making our debut there on the 21st. The whole schedule is up at Baltimore Positive. Please come on out, support us. We're going to have great guests. I'm booking all sorts of people that have been waiting their turn to have a crab cake. And now people yell at me like, when do I get my crab cake? This guy came over to Dundalk and Costas and our 25th anniversary, sponsored by Curio Wellness, of course. He is here each and every Thursday. Took a little respite earlier in the month. Man, you went away a little bit, and the Ravens, you leave, and the Ravens are like, you know. Now they're like number one with a bullet in the power rankings, 37-3. On a picturesque day in downtown Baltimore, just the way Art Modell would have drawn it up. Right, Dennis Kolatsos?
It was wonderful. The crowd was into it. The team, the defense was suffocating. The offense was efficient. I'm telling you, it was a perfect day in Baltimore this past Sunday.
Well, Luke and I have had some themes this week, and I guess the first theme is the defense, right? Like, Lamar's always there. We could talk about Beckham and the running game and young Keaton Mitchell, whose father is going to come on. You know, Dennis, I had to look this up. Leonard Raskin challenged me. He's like, was Keaton Mitchell on the planet when his father didn't? No, he was not. He was not conceived. I have Anthony Mitchell coming on this week. That play happened in January of 2001. Keaton Mitchell was born in January 2002. So I'm going to talk to Anthony about, he must have had a hell of a celebration that spring, you know, to bring Keaton into the world. But dude, we're old enough now that we're seeing the guy's kids run around out there, including Orlando Brown, which, you know, he's long gone, right? And we'll see him next Thursday night here trying to beat us. But we're in a different era here, brother.
Look, I pray that we're here long enough to see their grandkids play. That would be a phenomenal blessing. But we'll take it one day at a time. And Keaton Mitchell is certainly a great story in the season full of great story thus far for the Ravens. But I think we can all agree this team will go as far as Lamar Jackson will take them. He's got to stay upright. He's got to be available looking ahead in December in order for us to continue this party, the celebration. But what's in front of him right now, Nestor, is the number one seed in the AFC for the playoffs. That's what's on the table. And we'll know in a few days after they take care of the Browns and the Bengals how far they're going to go towards that process, to that end.
Yeah, I don't want to give any benefit to Chad Steele for throwing me out, but Sunday on the couch beginning at 9 a.m. And we'll have some surprises from Europe later in the week around here as well. But beginning with the Miami-Kansas City game, and then I watched the Ravens dismantle Seattle and all the 1 o'clock games. Like, they were bad team versus worst team. Like, all the 1 o'clock games. Then 4 o'clock happens, and there's that Dallas-Philadelphia. And then at night, I'm friggin' worn out. So was Joe Burrow's thumb, right? And I mean, all I could do, like Fred Flintstone and Barney with toothpicks in the eyes at 10 o'clock to stay awake. But man, it was a playoff kind of day on Sunday with playoff caliber matchups throughout the thing. And I'll tell you, Cleveland and Cincinnati are emerging at this time. They're getting healthier. They're better. We're getting better versions. And I think when you lose your running back and he's one of your best players. Now, Myles Garrett will make a statement for that, and Jim Schwartz will this week. You're seeing teams that have seen us twice now, and we've seen them twice. The division's at stake. The Ravens have a really comfortable lead, which makes me itch because you and I have been at this 27, 28 years now. They don't ever have two-game leads or game-and-a-half leads. They're never they're always the stalking horse, right? Forever with Pittsburgh, even sometime with Cincinnati, never with Cleveland. But this is a different space for them, and they are as healthy as they've been. And you mentioned Lamar. Boy, Luke and I did a half an hour before we got to Lamar talking about the defense at this point and what the defense is trying to do, giving up threes and sixes and pissed off about it at home. I mean, that really goes back to a different era, Dennis. It really does.
Yeah, but they can't win without Lamar. We saw that last year in the playoffs. They had Cincinnati on the ropes, and then that awful 14-point swing after that Tyler Huntley fumble on the goal line. So to me, yes, defense will win championships. but you still have to have the dude. You got to have the quarterback. And the nice thing about him is he's being very calm back there in the pocket, very efficient with the ball. And now with his run pass combination, thunder and lightning with Gus the Bus and Keaton Mitchell, the sky's the limit. And the other piece to this, Nestor, is Kansas City. Their offense isn't as scary as it once was. Their defense is better, maybe, but they don't have any superstar wide receivers. Travis Kelce is starting to lose a step now at 34 years of age. So if there was ever a season to take down the Chiefs, this is it. This is their window that's wide open for them right now.
What you're saying to me is you want the Ravens to have the number one seed so
Yes.
that Taylor Swift comes here.
Oh, never thought of it that way, but great angle. Wouldn't hurt.
What's an angle? I mean, it's an angle. I'm
It's an
just saying.
angle. It's an
Dennis
angle.
Kolatsos is here. He'll have his own angles on Thursday from 3 until 5. Driving you home on the Sunday Sports Voice. Heard again on Sunday morning before the game. And I love that you and Luke get together and have long forms on Thursdays. We run them early in the show, usually 3 o'clock hour. But then you'll hear Luke and Dennis here on Friday and Saturday. You'll hear me and Dennis cutting it up. We did a whole thing on the Maryland Stadium Authority last week. I'm following that up in a big way this week. I'm chasing down the governor who was allegedly getting together with me later on in the month. I've got a dozen crab cake tour stops. The mayor is involved as well in all of this. But the defense and taking center stage for the football team and Roquan Smith, I talked about this summer, and I know I said this to you back in August. All this oxygen for Odell Beckham and his money and Lamar's contract, and even Dobbins was still in play then, and Todd Monken, and we all hate Greg Roman, and he's terrible. Boy, the defense is the side of the ball that hasn't taken any time off. It's gotten healthier. And this is a nod to Eric DaCosta and George Koukinis and really the organization over the lifetime, over this century, whether it's we're going to identify Trevor Price, we're going to identify Matt Burke, we're going to identify Anquan Boldin, we're going to identify Steve Smith, we're going to maybe make some mistakes on Jeremy Maclin, or maybe just hit a single or a double with Mike Wallace or whomever those players are going to be. But the Odell Beckham thing took up all the oxygen, and Lamar's contract took up all the oxygen. But the biggest things that have happened here for this franchise to make this a Super Bowl team. Now, Lamar came out of the box on the 32nd pick, and the revolution and everything they tried to do on that side of the ball, running it, Willie Snead bringing in offensive linemen. The under the radar, the unsexy thing is when you trade for a lottery pick that you'd have to stink really bad to get Roquan Smith, you pay him market money at before you know him, before you've met him, you've given him $80 million. And he comes in and shows you why. But then you find Kyle Van Noy, you find Jadeveon Clowney, you unearth Geno Stone to make him this player. Brandon Stevens, who you tried to get on the field, you tried to get on the field, you draft Hamilton, you draft Queen, these first round draft picks. Humphrey is going to the Hall of Rich at this point. Matt Ebike is leading the team in sacks. I mean, this isn't any one thing. This is everything. And this is Mike McDonald being in the same position that Marvin Lewis was in, which is got a lot of toys in the garden, and McDonald's going to get a job out of this. Whether they win the Super Bowl or not, I believe that. But this is really about having really good pieces and identifying guys like Kyle Van Noy and Jadeveon Clowney and Roquan Smith in other uniforms and saying, we're going to bring them here and we're going to make them even better than they are.
Yeah, it's just been an amazing run for all the things you just mentioned, Nestor. The defense has been amazing. You were early on them in the preseason. Mike McDonald certainly is the name that's getting hotter and hotter out there. In fact, I've been telling people he's terrible. He's the worst coordinator I've ever seen in my entire life. He's no good. It's just the players. But no, give him credit. His schemes are very good. The players are fresh. You can tell they're having a lot of fun, Nestor, and that's contagious, right? Patrick Queen's having a lot of fun. Kyle Van Noy. I saw him on the Pat McAfee show 2 or 3 weeks ago. He was sitting there in a sweatshirt, just cutting it up. Next thing you know, he's on the Ravens and making a difference, right? That's the amazing part, how they've been able to get guys like Clowney and Van Noy to show up in good shape and make a difference right away.
Well, Van Noy brings in a pelt, right? I mean, saying we got Justin Tucker, he's won a Super Bowl. Okay, and Harbaugh and all that. But when you inject that into the huddle, when you inject, and this is where Burke and Bolden and, they Steve Smith, they I mean they've tried to bring in players that can breathe some of that into a franchise that, quite frankly, no offense to Ronnie Stanley, who's not earning his money, or Marlon Humphrey, who likes to run his mouth. or Lamar, who's Lamar, right? Guys haven't won anything. None of these guys have won it. They won one playoff game, and they're banging around 6, 7, 8 years into this. And Kyle Van Noy comes in and says, I dealt with Belichick's ish. We got to do things differently around here. Roquan Smith comes in and says, I've been 2-14 every year. I don't like losing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and
yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point, Nestor. When those voices are amplified, the championship caliber voices, whether it's Van Noy or a guy like Roquan Smith, those are the guys.
Or Odell Beckham, who won a ring, by the way.
Yeah, but those are the guys you want your mouthpieces, not the guys that have been here for a while and haven't gotten over the hump. I think that's a big, big difference right there.
Yeah, I don't want to hear from Mark Andrews or Ronnie Stanley or Marlon Humphrey or even Lamar about big games. I mean, like, you know, you guys beat everybody's ass in 2019, and then you went out there and couldn't make a fourth down, and then you kicked the ball around, right? Like, when it mattered at home in front of our fans. So the fact that these 37-3 beatdowns exist, that's the kind of tape I need to see for me to go up to Hollywood Casino and buy in, right, on December 1st when I'm doing my thing up there. Leonard and I got together earlier, and we talked about this as well. And Luke and I talked about this. And you're at the game. By the way, what a beautiful day to be at the stadium for you, right? I mean, that's that's why you have a season ticket, right?
It was gorgeous. It was. I had a jersey on. I had a Mark Andrews jersey on. And I had an Under Armour, you know, long sleeve shirt underneath of it. And that's all I needed. Sat in the upper deck, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful day. And I was surrounded by a very, very enthusiastic Raven fan base. I thought they showed up. Even Coach Harbaugh commented how loud the crowd was. Definitely gave the team a 12th man home field advantage.
Well, there's plenty to cheer about. And I thought that one of the most telling things that happened all day, and I wrote about this, and I'm going to talk about it all week, Odell Beckham and the amount of money they gave him. And, you know, I get to sit at home and watch the games on TV like everybody else now. And Tony Romo and Jim Nance, when they come to town, if you're paying attention, if you're watching the game and listening, there's information that if I were embedded over there, I wouldn't be getting, certainly not at this point, right? They'd be lying to me. They're telling him the truth. So when Tony Romo tells you, this is what Lamar didn't like about Greg Roman, that's stuff that they wouldn't have been talking about last year. So I'm sitting at home and I'm picking all this up. But at one point early in the game, Beckham gets the first target, right? Bateman got the second one. Then Beckham was targeted early. And it's very obvious that he's now healthy and they need his personality, his – they can't have him having two catches for 14 yards on his sheet at the end of the week, right? And it doesn't need to be 7 for 180 and 3 touchdowns, because I don't know that that's who he is, but I think there's a lot of ego. There's a lot of money. He catches a pass, and Tony Romo or Nance says, that's his 15th reception of the year. And I'm thinking, 15? He's making $15 million. It's November 6th. Like, that's $1 million a catch so far. Where's the impact in this? And then Lamar's out of the game, and you should hope for this every fourth quarter, right? That they're winning by 4 touchdowns, and Snoop Huntley throws a touchdown, and you would have – if Lamar throws the winning touchdown for the Super Bowl, he won't be any more enthusiastic than he was jumping off the bench to get Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham is from my eyes, and again, shame on Chad Steele for throwing me out that I don't have a real answer on this or that I go around and quiz people about this, but Odell Beckham looks to be – a guy that everybody on the offense, everybody in the team likes. It's been a good addition. It's hard to talk about bad things when they're 7-2. There's nothing wrong where everything's fixed. But Odell Beckham being a part of this on the offensive side, it feels like that's important to the team right now.
It's very important. That's true. It's funny you mentioned Beckham Jr. Before the game, as I was sitting there with the Ravens faithful fans, I looked up to see how many catches he'd had for the year. And it was 14. And I mean, he's making $884,000 a game, 17 game checks, right? I did the math and I'm thinking, my gosh, he's making, you know, it's amazing how much money this guy's making. So it was nice to see him get 4 or 5 receptions Sunday. It was nice to see him celebrate on his birthday. And the other piece of it is he's not a malcontent. You looked at that guy, Pickens, for the Steelers, and he was upset. He got targeted twice the other night, and Deontay Thompson got more targets and a touchdown than him. So the nice thing about Odell Beckham Jr., Nestor, is that he's been a total team player. And I think that speaks volumes. He's matured, right? He's not the same guy he was 4 or 5 years ago.
Well, and they did their homework on this part of it, right? I mean, after Earl Thomas and after whatever you would consider to be, is this guy going to be an addition or subtraction? They looked at me and thought I'd be a subtraction. They looked at him and thought he'd be an addition. And seeing the enthusiasm for him, as Harbaugh said in the locker room after the game, right? Like, this is, as a coach, the whole, it's like when your dealership is running perfect, when you have a great month, when everybody's hitting numbers, when the weather's good, when things are shining for any business, for any, or for any organization, you want things to go well. To have Harbaugh making $15 million a year at the top of this, and they're 7-2 and they just won 37-3, for him to say, this is why we all get together. We get together because that's what ultimately what you want to see. You want to see it really work and come together. And that's heartening for the organization November 6th at a time where they had it going last year. Lamar got hurt. They had it. And then they went into contract land. They went into the Lamarathon, right? 2 years ago, they had and the plague and all of the mess that every Mark Andrews and Marlon Humphrey and Ronnie Stanley who has experienced the disappointment of not being good enough in January, sitting here in November, there is not anyone in that building that doesn't think they can't win a Super Bowl.
Well, the other piece of this, Nestor, and I'm thrilled as a Ravens analyst and fan, is that both Roquan Smith and Lamar Jackson didn't get lazy after they signed their big contracts, after they got their bag. They both elevated their game, and they both have stayed healthy so far. And that's exactly what you want to see when you invest that type of money in these players, because we've seen it with the Ravens. It hasn't always worked out, whether it's Ronnie Stanley or Ladarius Webb or Earl Thomas. Sometimes teams do make mistakes, but so far with Lamar and Roquan Smith, your two leaders on both sides of the ball, so far so good.
Well, and yeah, that kind of investment and what they decided to do, I don't think they ever questioned that with Smith or with Lamar, that it really is about winning for those guys, not just getting their money, right? And you and I are big boys about this. We've watched it all in every sport. That is, you know, that's the Garden of Eden, right? You know what I mean? Like that's the major league, Roger Dorn, you know, I'm not going to damage this valuable piece of property. Sure. And you were a guy saying Lamar made business decisions. This year, these aren't business decisions. This year, it's don't run till you have to.
Right.
I mean, we know you can run. And in the fourth quarter, if we're losing by 10 points in Buffalo and it's cold out, we're going to need you to run. But don't get broken in half against the Detroit Lions.
Now, as you mentioned, it was great to see Lamar Jackson exit the game with 12 minutes or so to go. That's what you want to see as a Ravens fan. Shades of 2019, though. I think a lot of us are feeling that way. That team was dominant in the regular season. This team has been dominant the last three or four games, and let's see what happens going forward. They're going to need some luck. They're going to need some health to continue this thing. But so far, so good, man. This is when things are going well. It's a force multiplier, isn't it?
Well, they're going to get better competition too, right? I mean, Deshaun Watson. Say what you want about his, you know, shortcomings, but played a good game. They pitched a shutout against the team they should have pitched a shutout against. They're coming at the right time. Cincinnati's going to be on short rest and on the road, and the Burrow finger thing, but they did what they needed to do to beat the Buffalo Bills, right? So, and it feels like his mobility is back. We're going to get everyone's best shot, whether it's Justin Herbert on the road, whether it's whatever San Francisco is going to be on Christmas night. We're going to see Tua Tagovailoa as well. I saw him in his brother's commercials over the weekend as well. We're going to see the Steelers at the end looking to wreck things or wherever they're going to be, and they keep winning even though it's not pretty. There are no more bye weeks here for this team.
Now, right now, all four teams in our division are playoff bound. They really are, which is amazing. 9 games into the season.
Which makes them even more dangerous on Sunday.
Of course, of course. Every game's important. But they got to travel to Jacksonville as well. It's always been a tough out for us, traveling to Jacksonville. And they have Trevor Lawrence. It's an ascending team. They're probably still a year away. But, again, any given Sunday, they can certainly lose.
You say ascending teams. Cleveland, ascending team. Cincinnati, ascending team. I don't know what the hell the Chargers or the Dolphins are, but I know they're good teams. They're much more credible than the Arizona Cardinals, than some of the bad teams we've seen. I don't think Detroit and Seattle were bad teams. I think styles make fights, and these NFC teams that aren't prepared for Lamar's speed. But I think the defense is ready to lunch pail, but they're going to see better quarterbacks. The defense offenses are going to make plays on the defense in a way that we haven't seen in a couple of weeks. And we're going to have to see how they respond to that, because I think these next two games are going to be a lot tougher than the last two home games.
I tell you how encouraged I am, Nestor. When I got home after the game, I got online and started looking at plane tickets and hotel reservations for Vegas. I mean, I think this team's got the inside track to get to the Super Bowl this year.
I can't believe you just said that. That's a spoiler. That's terrible.
No. It's just planning for the future. Just trying to be a good fan and analyst and make sure that I'm there, because I missed the 2000 Super Bowl in Tampa Bay, May the 2012 one, thanks to WNST. And I'm not going to miss another one. It's just one of those things that tell everyone that if your team gets to the Super Bowl, you got to be there. You got to go.
All right. Well, I'm not making that commitment, but I will make a commitment to take you to U2 the night before at the Sphere.
The Sphere is something else, by the way. We saw it a few months ago. That thing is phenomenal. It really is.
Well, I went inside that thing last week. And,
oh, did you? You were inside of it. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. And I saw U2 last Friday. You were away and ill, and we'll talk about that next week.
Yeah. Sounds good.
I met Alice Cooper.
Oh, that's amazing.
Radio star Alice Cooper. I didn't do the Wayne's World thing. I didn't do the We're Not Worthy. I didn't do that. But
well, I'm glad you didn't.
I'm not. I don't know, man. You know, he took me seriously. You know what? When I went up to Alice Cooper, we were backstage, literally backstage before the show. I was a guest of the band. It was nice. Free beer. It was delicious. Had a couple Peronis. It was fine. I wasn't driving. I was walking. The Sphere was trippy. But, I went up to Alice Cooper, and this is what I said to him. I said, I just want to thank you for having my cousin's jersey on the wall at Cooperstown in Arizona. Nice. And he said, human vacuum cleaner, greatest shortstop ever. And I'm like, that's what a guy named Aparicio wants to hear. You know, thank you, Mr. Cooper. So I thought he owned the radio station out in Phoenix. Every time I'm out in Phoenix for the owners meetings or out there, he's always on the air. And I thought he must have owned a piece of it as an FM. He said, no, I never owned it. He said, I thought I was going to do it for like a year, and I wound up doing it for 20 years. And he loved being on the radio. He does a radio show in Phoenix.
Well, good for him.
But he was performing in Las Vegas the next night. I did not know that, or I would have said something to him. But we talk baseball. He was talking 69 Sox. He's a Detroit Tigers fan. I'm like, well, we're both suffering then, aren't we?
Right. So, absolutely. That's
84 for him and 83 for us. All right. Dennis Colossus will be here on Thursday from 3 until 5. He'll be back on. So what do you got with cars? 0% financing. I know you got your selling
veterans,
cars, right?
We have Veterans Day weekend coming up. Veterans out there, they're getting a 5-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Even in the household, anyone living with a veteran gets that. It's a big, big deal, plus an extra $500. So we're taking care of our veterans, our military, this Veterans Day weekend. That's the big story.
It's almost like Rob Gronkowski in that commercial, right? You can just be related to one. Right.
Just be related. Just be part of that greatness, that legacy of our military, which we love. And Ford Motor Company is certainly supporting them this weekend.
My grandfather served in the U.S. Army back in the 1920s and 30s. So, yeah, he
thank you for his service.
So I know I could get in, I think. And my wife's dad served in Vietnam. So my uncles don't count. I think it's grandfather and parents. So I do have a grandfather that served. So there.
Good. Perfect. Good stuff. Come and
I
save
qualify.
Some money.
There you go.
Come and save some money at Coons Ford.
All right. I'm wearing a Coons badge here. You can find Dennis out at Security Boulevard, and I'll always find him out at the front of Baltimore Positive. He will be here on Thursday from 3 until 5 driving you home. No one more excited than the 7-2 Baltimore Ravens than Dennis Colossus here on Thursday, and again on Sunday morning getting you ready for the Cleveland Browns. Luke is out in Owings Mills all week. He'll join Dennis on the show Thursday and Sunday as well. I'm doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by our friends at Maryland Lottery this Friday at Fadley's, next Tuesday at Costas. The whole schedule now up at BaltimorePositive.com. Stay with us.